Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Podimation podcast. Now it's probably be up to number 30, so it gives you a matter of the idea that the number of, I suppose, hundreds of hours I'm putting in to software development to support podcasting. So the generalized concept is that you can focus more on your podcasting and less on the production aspects of it. You do your podcast of a reasonable quality, and you just put the dictaphone in the computer and or into the USB of the computer, and everything's detected and taken away. And that's reasonably the case there, where the upload is managed, it's checked that it's uploaded, it's produced and put together. And so that's the basic idea of podcasts, and basically sustaining sorts of things. Obviously, I've got a backlog of new scientists and books, books to read that keep me going for a fair while, and my overall focus is improving. Now, behind this all is the long-range objective of producing podcasts to support teaching. Now, a podcast per se, in a specialist area, may be of interest to students, but it's not very beneficial. And so the idea of converting the information in your podcast into a multiple choice question, explanation question, answer, I suppose, triplet, is a fundamental way of organizing information such that it can be understood or come in at multiple levels. And so I suppose the advantage of a multiple choice quiz format is that you've got some few very easy questions, and then when it comes down to it, it's really easy to teach. If you've got a misconception which is based about something which is wrong but easy to teach, well, of course, it's easy to teach. And if it's easy to teach, you can get some feedback right away that it's right. So if you've got misconceptions, you can easily do it. And particularly when you're setting up multiple choice questions, and you know the correct answer, there's a tendency to go in for the kill and go into the deeper aspects which may not be technically right. So what will happen is that 99% of people say, hit the loony button, this person's not correct. As you say, the electron has an S2 symmetry, switch off straight away, it's too hard. And I think there's a cultural problem. Therein lies a cultural problem, is that the intellectual stamina and maths of people in the frontline teaching is really low. And so you get something which feels right to them and works in their environment, but it's not sufficient to really grapple with the nature and mechanics and that type of stuff. So the Podimation thing has gone on to part of the Podimation stuff is I've given a few podcasts on reverse order syntactic logic. And this sort of flowed into a fundamental podcast that you can give. And when you put it in, you then tag it, and then it breaks up your podcast into atoms. Atoms of explanations, questions, and answers, and reconstructs that as in the form of a radio program. And therein, more than 50% of the podcast, or the reconstructed podcast, is generic linking words and the actual structure is there. So you create your template podcast with your first or your correct answer labeled R and incorrect answers labeled W. Now, why you use Q, T, W, R, and E, that's the QWERTY at the very top of the keyboard. They're not fully going in. So there it goes, the first opening up. So I don't know, in terms of I suppose formally trained in a few scenarios on my tooth is a bit sore, so you can see I'm doing a bit of this. I'm sorry about that. So you've got to get the strategy up, but then you want sort of layers of strategies of many people into it. So the idea is that your access points to this medium changes. So all you have to do now, if someone wants to produce a something like this, you've got a node which actually can assemble code and put it out there. But leading up to it, you can have anyone who has access to Audacity can follow a recipe now and produce a quiz. So that's a great strategic opening up. So it's not just me. I can get multiple. I can get multiple people at multiple stages to produce multiple quizzes. And this is a content explosion, which is a bit of a problem. No, not a problem, but it's how one plans for the scale. Already it's just me producing, it's producing a huge amount of information. Now, so what it does is it takes the potential answers, randomizes it, puts it in an multiple choice system, and basically stores the answer in an array. Oh, I suppose I should have to go out and actually get it to publish the answers to the class test. That's something I might do tomorrow. Just give myself a little bit of break, a little easy, like a PDF of answers to the class test. So you can see all these assets coming up now. At the moment, it's at what do you call before formal strike. So the idea of a nice technology striking. So this is not strike as in I'm putting down tools, I'm going away. Strike is a term, I don't know where I've used it from. It's where you pick up a very weak signal, and you know, you can leave your equipment there and focus on other things and then come back and pull it up. So at the moment, the technical hurdles are falling fairly routinely, and I just have to get full strike if I can get other people in producing quizzes and use the quiz engine. So at the moment, to produce a quiz, you have to know how to produce a podcast in reverse, how to edit it on Audacity, and then really it's just hit a key now, and that goes and produces four programs and a quality improvement engine. That's where you can actually search any question in any segment, note it, and I'll close the loop where you can produce a form. So the actual, it's reasonably scaled, just one person producing one podcast has produced a fair amount of broad data to be handled, But the quiz one is where you quiz a 10-part quiz has near 100 data points. It can't be that. Probably about 60 atoms, at least. That is little components where it might be the question, the answer, the explanation. So let's do it. I think doing the maths, that's six components. A question, an explanation, and four answers, one of them being the correct answer. I'm leaving it that because I'm focusing on that because having only four levels in a multiple choice standardizes it. For a number of reasons, and I have been trained in writing science multiple choices, and it's writing the questions to, or the answers such, in this case, because they're in a teaching scenario, to actually push people at sort of at different levels. So one will be excluded for a low level, it's not of the right category. Another will be excluded because it's not the right form. So you've got two there and then two to choose between. And there's a temptation to do that. So it's at the moment, I've got through a system that it takes the audacity. And the important thing now is that all you have to do to produce a quiz now is produce an audacity file and email it off to me. But and it goes, you have to email the the tags, which is short, 75 kilobytes, and then the data file. So when you save a Audacity project, that's all I need is the Audacity project. It'll save the timings and edits, but if you recorded it, it will save a fairly chunky file, usually 100 megabytes or more, to come across the time. So I can take that, pull it up, whack it in, and it's, I suppose, a question of the searchable aspects for it. So this will all be searchable by Google. So you've got your a real head scratcher in that if you create files which appropriate tags, they don't have to be in any particular database. They just have to be anywhere on the internet, and Google will find them for you. And so it is possible to actually, I suppose, have a disruptive technology similar to hashtagging. You know, hashtag is where the user was able to take control of the structure. You know, the hashtag. So here, anyone who produces a question in the appropriate file format, Google can find out. So you can suddenly get over around the world, heaps of people producing thousands of questions, and you probably need a voting system in it. There's a whole number of structures, so bear in mind, what is it, it's taken about a week to get on top of Audacity, or just to know how to use Audacity, and it's taken today at least to write the stuff, which so when it's taking the file from Audacity, it has to clean it up and arrange things, sort of count the number of questions you've got. Audacity, one of the things I realise, you just want to you don't want to be worried about if you're writing a question, is this the 8th question or the 9th question, a numbering. So it takes the general stuff from the G'day Mate. Yeah, it takes the general stuff from Audacity, cleans it up, and cleans it up in a form that I had developed, a sort of legacy form. And then that, by the time it goes through and broadcasts that, and then it comes out, so you've got a directory with all your stuff, and it's question 10, question whatever it is, all the way through, and then it just retakes that up, puts it into a mini directory. So there's a mini directory for question 6, or a second directory for question 8, or whatever it is, and it's got a unique directory identifier, which I just got the date and a fly through time, so it produces a unique number. It may have to have it, even an identifier code of who's, you know, like an official code for who's actually producing it. But it just produces the directory of files, and then I got the software, the robotic software, to write a small web page for each directory, and it just pops that in the directory. So each directory has a, what I call a player HTML. I call it player because the basic player HTML5 I ripped off, and I just merged it with another table example. Just rip that off, and put it in. Just as I talk about, I remember I'll have to curtail things or get it under control. It's largely got everything segregated, but there's some items which don't only exist in a. Yeah, there's a atom which. There's a third class of atom. I'm thinking of the number of questions. So it counts the number of questions, and it creates an atom of speech for the number of questions. So today will be 10 questions, or today will be 6 questions. I still haven't got that to propagate fully through. So you just, for all the atoms, you have a directory of all the actual sound files, and then it then creates a web page, a little web page which with audio players, so you don't have to open up the files, you can listen to it through HTML5, and it links it to it and orders it and says what number it is. Now I'll tell you what, that was a fiendish thing. It took me the first time it ran, it took me, I don't know, so long. I just couldn't believe it. There's a fundamental part of LabVIEW which has fallen over. I haven't known. This is search and replace. And it's search and replace inside a loop doesn't refresh itself anymore. So I've had to write a search and replace file, and then go in and clean it up. The thing is that when it can't find it, there's a -1 root, but it still replaces, searches and adds in your thing. So what you are stocking in, it will replace every instances, but at the time it was also placing an instance in the back, that's hard to say, the very end of the file. So it's the last search and replace. So don't search and replace. You have to put that in. So that, g'day mate. G'day. get on your mark. So there's, I'm just walking past the park. You probably can hear people playing tennis late at night. They're pretty enthusiastic. They can keep on playing that. There's my tennis coach, the tennis coach of my kids. So I'm just pretty exhausted. Okay. So, then this is repeated again for the actual quiz. It then builds up what I call a manifest, which points to these directories. So at the moment, we're at sort of a third waypoint, and took a little, it didn't take very much, put over there. One of the things I'm going to do is put a background thing, which so you put your files in your directory, and when it says a new file in the directory, it's got to be a fresh new file, and it can't be built in the directory, it's got to be put in straight away. So I've learnt that lesson. Bit of a head scratch of that. So the FTP is not smart enough to deal with the FTP of a file which is being built. So the bespoke, open source software, just, you know, these are 30 megabyte files. You know, now we think 30 megabytes is nothing, but I remember at least the first hard drive I ever had was a 20 megabyte hard drive. So this is pretty incredible, impressive stuff. But so the FTP, it builds it separately, and when it's finished, puts it in. And I've got general code for which is within the Podomation, the actual original Podomator. And what it does is it checks whether it's been fully properly published to the internet. And then if it's been properly published to the internet, there's no need for a file cluttering up your own computer. So it just wipes it out. You know, I'm paying for all this arm and leg for JustHost. It would be fantastic. It's going to be an extraordinary world as the servers pick up. And there's heaps of things. There's virtualization of services and the such. So at this stage, and then I just got in and changed the, then just bolted that onto the end of the lesson maker, I suppose. Bolted that in. So at the end of the lesson maker, it sends a report, something to Blogger, saying the quiz is up, and here are all the links. And I've now added another link, which links you to the manifest file, which then allows you to quality control the whole quiz, and which is great. It's just that when it's done, what I really have to do is get a manifest file and so ideally if someone says, look, you should say Ingardium Leviosa rather than Ingardium Leviosa, you should say that. And yeah, that's right. I've got to go back to the quiz and ideally edit that one little bit, and it's got to rebuild the quiz. So I don't know, we've got to get it. So at the moment I've got it deconstructing the quiz and going right up to the manifest. I've then got to reverse engineer from the manifest to rebuild the quiz. So the manifest will say there, but what I'll do is I'll change a file in those directories. Sort of breaks it all up. The entire thing is that once you actually produce the quiz, That's it. You don't have to go back to the entire quiz and wind your way through it. If someone says, look, question 6, that's a dog. Or if someone says, question 6 and 7 should be rearranged, we should just get your manifest, rearrange it, redo something, and then rebuild it from there. And that's going to be, I don't know. It's not a major, it is sort of a major task, but it's not as big as you think. It's just working out how to rename the files. And essentially, once the files are renamed in a common directory, it then just goes off and builds a variety of quizzes. So there's two sort of strike points which I'm aiming for. So what's happened is that basic technology strands have come up, and this is being able to podcast a lot, and then being able to do the online quizzes. This is still before we've reached student feedback. It gives you the general idea. And obviously when you go into business or you go anywhere, you do all this work. So it's everything's planned, ready to go. So we're at the stage that I can cope with a lesson plan, produce a general podcast, produce a quiz, but then we can go one step further. I can get other people producing quizzes, so that's got a certain penetration rate. When other people produce quizzes, it will grow, and then there'll be an economy of questions, the quiz questions going across there. That's one aspect of it. But where it really is going to shine, I believe, and this is, like, I don't feel this is just from the analysis of, if you look at, look, I don't waste time. If something's wrong, I note that it's date, and then I might be interested in coming back and trying to work out how it's got wrong and who's going and the sociology of it. Well, that will be all blown away if I can get a like, a thumbs up, thumbs down, a sort of a Facebook version of quiz questions, and experts, you know, I think will be the end of a whole of folk science, and essentially that's to be honest, that's what we're coming up against now. The thing is that you've got people teaching folk science. If they're teaching folk science, they're also not going to be that much on top of ethics. So I just really hope that this is a small push forward, and then also trying to get the actual critical experiments, which are not designed to teach existing stuff, but they evoke an interest in quantum mechanics, and I think I've got so they can't be complete whiz-bang, you know, with all the gears. It can't actually go into the fantasy world of what a fantasy experiment is. It's got to be really simple. So I think those four aspects, I should be able to nail it. And you might say, well, why are you trying so hard to nail it? You're up against people who are operating a pretty powerful folk system, and you can't get in and grab a main artery. You can imagine this as some sort of beast with a pulsating blood supply that's outside. You can't grab part of its blood supply and squeeze it off so it dies. It'll scream and hit you back. You have to completely out-evolve it. So that's where the Podomation software is. Thanks a lot for listening. podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.